Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are all-knowing and that you know us all personally. I thank you that you see what's in our bucket or what's happening in our lives right now, and that you're not distant, but you're close. You're close and you are involved. And so, God, I just pray that through this word we would hear you with clarity, hear you without it being twisted or construed, but just hear your truth. And Father, I pray that you would help us to know what to do with that truth, not just to hear it, but to put it into place, to allow it to transform us, to allow you in. I thank you for Andrew and the preparation that has gone this week and before as you prepared his heart and this word for our church at this moment for us. Amen.
Amen. This one's been bouncing around in my spirit for maybe a month or two. And I feel a heaviness in the room. And I thought, do we need to pray into that? What do we need to do? And I just felt like God said, the word has the power to lift the heaviness. So I'm just going to bring the word and we're going to see what happens. But I want to share this morning about that line. That song has ministered to me so much, and I still got to get to heartbreak is not my home, because sometimes when our hearts are broken, we camp there and we're not meant to. But today I want to talk about sickness is not my story. And you might have met people who say, oh, you know, hi, I'm Andrew. I'm a diabetic. Or hi, I'm, you know, James, I'm bipolar. And they almost introduce, and sometimes I have issues, and I don't know, you can argue with me later, when we identify as something that's not who we are. It might be something we struggle with. So it might be, hi, I'm Andrew, I struggle with bipolar, but it's not who I am. I might struggle with diabetes, but it's not who I am. I might struggle with addiction, but it's not who I am. And so sickness is not my story. And I sense, when I was preparing this, I really was thinking about physical sickness. But I sense this morning God's talking about emotional sickness or mental sickness or physical sickness, because we're holistic beings. And whatever your sickness you're struggling with, it's this morning I want you to know it's not your story. It's not who you are. You are so much more than that. And we'll get to that in a minute. So our first point this morning is sickness is not my story, because God is a healing God. Exodus 15:26. And God led, he set the cap, his, you know, the backstory is his people were slaves in Egypt, and he set them free, and then he led them through the desert. Yeah, when we get set free by God, sometimes we don't expect him to lead us through the desert. One of the commentators was interesting as his story. They were traveling for 3 days and had no fresh water. You can understand, I think there's like a million people, or a lot of people and a lot of animals, and they needed water. They're going through the desert. They hadn't had any fresh water for 3 days, and they finally get to this pool of Marah, is one way to pronounce it, and the water was bitter. How's that? How would you feel about that? And they started moaning and groaning, as we do. We're all human, aren't we? And Moses cried out to God, and God said, throw this stick in the water and it'll make it sweet. It's interesting. One commentator said that the water still may have had minerals and stuff in it. Like there could have been a genuine physical miracle there. The sap of the particular tree did some weird chemical thing and made the water sweet. It might have just been a miracle of God. Who knows what it was, right? But the bitter water became sweet. But one commentator still said that some of the minerals in the water would have helped clean out the Israelites, literally. See, sometimes God leads us into the desert to clean us out. Just not physical, but spiritually or emotionally. But in this place where God healed the water and therefore brought healing to his people, he revealed himself. See, God doesn't always reveal himself in the, you know, we love the mountaintop experiences, because you can see. And you feel like you're on top of the world. But if you notice mountains, there's not much vegetation up there. The vegetation is in the valley. The rich soil is in the valley. The lessons are in the valley. See, after they went to this pool of Marah, they then went to Elim. after that, which had lots of springs and lots of palm trees, and it was beautiful, but there was no revelation of God. Isn't that interesting? And I found that myself is often the most I've learned about God is in the difficult times. That's why I believe that our world is focused on your comfort, because we don't like discomfort. And the more the devil and the world can convince us that we must be comfortable no matter what, the less we'll sit in discomfort and find God. And God revealed himself as I am. I am. He was doing this all through the Old Testament to his people. I am the God who heals you. In other words, God doesn't heal in the sense of he is a healer. He can't help but heal. Does that make sense? Who he is, like it says, God is love. It's not that God loves, it's that he can't help but love because he is love. So I encourage you this morning, if you're wrestling with some form of sickness, whether it be emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, find God there if you haven't already. If you have, amen. And allow him to reveal something more of who he is to you. And allow him to reveal himself as a healing God. Secondly, this morning I want to talk about sickness is not my story, because we can pray for healing. And we do that here. But I love this passage in James 5, 14 and 15. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. There's 2 points. There's a guy, you've heard me tell this story, but I love it so much. In my first year out of college, Salvation Army took us away to a first year review. We went down to a lovely place down at Stanmore in Sydney and had a week of, you know, sessions and catching up with our mates from college and teaching. And on one of the last afternoons, this crotchety old guy kind of limped in to the last session with a bung eye, right? And I'm sitting there going, man, this is going to be good, because by that stage of my life, I was probably about 28, 29, 30, I'd learned that God puts the best things in the weirdest packages. God puts the best things. Just so we have to look a little bit harder. We've got to look beyond the cover to find the good gear, friends. And you know who this guy was? His name was Canon Jim Glennon. He was an Anglican minister who had run successfully a healing ministry for 30 years or something. Amazing. Yet he had a bung eye and a limp. Isn't that interesting? And I was very interested to talk to this guy, because I just prayed for a youth group person's father who'd had a brain tumor and he went into hospital. You know, you imagine this. I'm straight out of college. I believe in praying for people. And I prayed for this guy. He went into hospital, had his operation after I prayed, and the doctors went too far and he came out a quadriplegic. What do you do about that? So I was very, very interested in talking to this guy, Canon Jim Glennon, who had seen lots of people healed. Now, this is what Jim Glennon says in his book, if you haven't seen it, Your Healing is Within You, one of the best books I've ever read on physical healing particularly. But he has these points on this passage from James, which I love, right? The first thing he said was, the sick person has to do something. The sick person have to, and you look in the Gospels and we see that, right? They have to call on someone to pray for them. And he sees this point to the degree that later in his ministry, he wouldn't actually pray for people unless they asked him to. Isn't that interesting? I believe, friends, that God sometimes helps us when we don't even ask for it, but more often than not, we need to ask. We need to ask. And in this passage, James is telling us to call on the elders. Now, why the elders? And this is the second point I like to make around this. Not just the sick person needs to call, but the elders. I've never understood this. The elders represent the church. Okay, it's a great revelation for me. I'll keep trying to unpack it. I found this really encouraging, right? Because a sick person needs enough faith to call, which isn't much faith, right? Just enough faith to call out for help. And normally when you're desperate, you can muster some faith when you're in the ocean in a rip and you're drowning to call out for help, hey. Sometimes we don't realize how desperate we are. That's why we don't call. But it doesn't rest totally on the sick person's faith or any other individual's faith, but the faith of the church. See, Ken and Jim Glennon said people used to come and say, oh, you're a faith healer. He says, no, I'm not. It's the church. It's not me. Isn't that great? Because I know there's times when I have enough faith to pray for someone when someone else in the church doesn't. And sometimes I don't have the faith to pray for someone, but someone else does. Does that make sense? That when we come together, there's enough faith to pray and believe for things to happen. I always wondered about that. Why the elders? Well, the elders represent the church. So it's not just the elders that get to pray. It's whoever's got the faith at the time to pray. Is that okay? Do we get that? So we call out. We call to the church, actually, to pray. We have enough faith between us to believe that God is a healing God and that we are told to pray for the sick and to trust God to do what only God can do. I love this story of Nicky Gumbel. If you don't know Nicky Gumbel, he ran a church in England and he was, this is the best way I like to say it. He was dumb enough to invite someone like John Wimber to his church. Now, John Wimber was a healing evangelist that saw lots of people healed. Mind you, he died of cancer himself. So not everyone gets healed, right? But he saw lots and lots of people healed and he started the Vineyard Church movement. And he invited John Wimber and his team over to England to his church, right? And someone in John Wimber actually got this word this one night and Nicky Gumbel was sitting there and he said, there's 10 people in the congregation who have athlete's foot and we'd like to pray for them. And so 9 people, would you like to stand up if you've got athlete's foot and we'll pray for you? So 9 people stood up. Nicky Gumbel, who was the leader of the church, had athlete's foot, but he wasn't going to stand up. And his wife said, going, stand up, you've got athlete's foot. And in the end, as the leader of the church, he stands up. So the team goes and prays with these people, right? And this young American guy comes up and prays for Nick, says to Nicky Gumbel, would you like me to pray for your athlete's foot? And I want to read this, because this is funny. He goes, no, thank you very much indeed. I'm perfectly happy with my athlete's foot. Hey, you've got to call. You've got to ask. Something even more amazing happened, which is probably why we have the Alpha program today and so many people have been brought to Jesus through it. The young guy said, is there anything else I could pray for? So Nicky said, I'd really love prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And the young guy said, okay, we'll pray for that. And he started to pray. And Nicky says after 30 seconds, he experienced something like 10,000 volts of electricity going through his body. In fact, it was so powerful, he couldn't take it anymore. And the team member kept praying, more power, Lord. And every time he prayed this prayer, the power increased. So Nicky says eventually he didn't know what to do. So he thought, the only thing I can do is pray against him. So I started praying, no more power, Lord. So eventually there's a shouting match going on in this meeting between the pastor and the guy from the team that was visiting. You know what? Nicky got power and God birthed the Alpha program and he's used Nicky and his church to reach lots of people for Jesus. But he never got his athlete's foot healed that night. See the irony in that? I just see the irony in that. He got what he asked for, but he didn't get something else because he never asked for it. I want to ask you today, I sense this for a lot of people. That we're okay to give, but we won't allow ourselves to be vulnerable enough to receive. See, when I give, I'm in control. When I'm humble myself and say I need something, I'm not in control. And it's a scary place. And so we resist that place. And because I believe we resist that place, we miss out a lot of what God has for us. If Friends, you've got to come humbly and humble yourself and express your need and say, you know what, I love your testimony today, Kim. That's beautiful. So articulate, so real, so honest, so authentic. We could relate to you. And we're there with you. How good is that? That's how we have to come to God. You know, you can come to God and say, well, I'm okay. And God goes, okay, let me know how that goes. I'm here for you when you want me, I believe God says. Do you want me? Do you want help? Are we okay with asking? We're told to ask in this passage. We're told to call on the church to pray. And lots of people do that here. We love it. Val sends out text messages. There's an intercession group meets every fortnight online. We're a praying church, and I love that. But don't hesitate to ask for help. Don't hesitate to reach out if you need prayer. And my final point this morning is sickness is not my story because I am a child of God. That's who I am. I love the fact that this verse, 1 John 3:1, was written by John. John was in the three. I believe he was the closest disciple to Jesus, and I believe he had the... Because John let himself get closer to Jesus than any of the other disciples, he had a greater revelation, understanding, and experience of God's love than any other disciple. And so then when John writes stuff like this, I go, mate, this guy, this is not just words, this is what he experienced. And 1 John, I don't know what happened, maybe it was me. Did I go back? See, I just want to humble myself there for a minute. Go back one. Oh, I was three. I thought it was two. I thought it was me. We'll go to the verse. I love this verse, one of my favorites. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Now, I love people. I love people. I just find it easy to love people. It's a God thing, right? I don't really understand it. I just get around people and love them, right? But when it comes to my kids, don't mess with me. Don't get between me and my children. Okay? Because I'd die for them. And sometimes we need to understand that when God, bring it back, I'll leave the verse up there. When we come into relationship with Jesus Christ and God is our Father, we are His kids. It's a different dynamic, right? God's got us. We're His kids. That's why I'm a Christian. I'm too scared not to be. Have you seen the world out there? Have you seen it? Have you been in it? We've all been in it. I'm too scared not to be a Christian because my dad is the creator of the universe and he's got my back. And don't get between me and him and me, however that works. Does that make sense? God protects me time and time again. I could tell you stupid story after stupid story of what I've done and I'm still on the planet. Amazing. I believe God saved my life time and time again. And if you're sitting here today, He's probably saved your life. And it's not just so you can suck air. He's got a purpose and a destiny for you. He's got something for you to do. And it's your job to discover what that is. That's your job. What are you doing? Are you working out what God wants you to do with the rest of your life? It's an amazing journey. Because his kid, I love watching my kids grow up and they're all different and discovering their journey. God wants to watch you grow up emotionally and spiritually and find your journey and celebrate that and live an awesome life. Don't just tread water. It's not what we were created for. We weren't just created to smell the daisies, have a nice breakfast and go back to bed. We're made to do stuff, to change the world, to impact people, have a purpose and a destiny. Do you get it? Mate, I hate people that just suck in air. I don't hate people. I hate it when people just suck in air and wasting space. Don't be those people. Don't be a consumer. Be a contributor. That's what God put you on the planet for. We don't need any more consumers. If I've consumed. Isn't it get boring after a while? After a while, you've consumed every damn thing they told you you need, and you're still unsatisfied. That's because we weren't created to be consumers. We're created to be contributors and world changers and people impactors. That's who God made us to be. And we need to get in touch with our identity and who God, not who Tom, Dick or Harry told you you are. You know? And I mean, that's the point. Here's, bring the picture up. The problem is, right, that we've been around people. See that poor guy? He's actually really normal. But he's getting the wrong reflection. And the problem is, sometimes as we've grown up, we've got the wrong reflection from dad. Or we've got the wrong reflection from mum. Or we've got the wrong reflection from kids at school. And see, people, we're meant to get our reflection from God. Because he's not the distorted mirror, he's the perfect mirror. And when we come to him, we get to see who he made us to be. But if we go to people, we get a distorted image. You know what? When I was a kid, everyone said, oh, isn't he shy? And I took on this identity of being shy and you know, freaked out around people. Well, you know what? I am quiet natured. And God come one day and said, that's okay. And I've learned to just embrace it and be okay with it. We don't have to take on our identity from what other people have said to us. Actually, in Jesus' name, I break off every word that's ever been spoken over you in a negative way in Jesus' name. And just release that in Jesus' name. May the word of God come. Because here's the other scary thing, right? In the day, I used to listen to Devo. You ever listen to Devo? Don't listen to Devo. Whip it into shape. Shape it up. Go forward. Try to detect it. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good. They sang this other song, right? I had all their tapes, cassettes. That's how old I am. And they sang this song, which I thought was quite profound, right? Often music, there's prophecy, not necessarily from God, right? From somewhere. But it was a profound truth. They said, freedom of choice is what we've got. Freedom from choice is what we want. Do you hear that? In other words, I don't want to take responsibility for my choices. Oh, it's because dad was like this, or mum was like that, or this guy gave me drugs, or, you know. In the name of Jesus, give up the excuses. Give up the excuses. Your choice, the devil does not want you to know that your choice is more powerful than you realize. So if I connect my choice to some negative comment someone said to me 10 years ago, then that has power to hold me down. But if I join my choice with the word of God that says I'm a child of the King who has a destiny for me, that has the power to lift me up. Does that make sense? Can you send someone to go get Dawn and some oil in about 3 different small containers, please? We're just going to do what we're told. Do you ever do what you're told? It's good sometimes to do what you're told. Try it, just for something different. Do what you're told. My mum used to say that. Can you do what you're told? Oh, maybe. I'm not sure if she said that or not, but it rings in my ears. So the Bible tells us to call on the elders, right? Problem is, 2 of them are in the band, so we're going to spend me and Dawn and might get some others. And if you want to get prayed for today, come out. We'll anoint your head with oil and we'll pray for you. Okay? And I don't mind if you're praying for physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing, because we're holistic beings, right? And so, and this is a great song. I love this song. We're going to sing a song called The Same God. You reckon you could do it by yourself? I love doing that tonight. He's so gracious towards me. You wait till Melissa comes back and asks her to pray for people. I wasn't sure what we were going to do this morning, but this is what I wanted to do, and I think it's right to do it. Okay, if that's all right. You can start singing anytime you want, brother. I love this song. Are you okay to pray with people? Nate's fine by himself. Excellent. There you go. And Dawn will be in a moment. And me and Melissa and Dawn will be out here to pray. Just, you know what, we're nothing special. We just represent the faith of this church. There's actually a lot of faith in this church. And we've seen a lot of answers to prayer over the years. And how many you got? That's a good start. So this is representative, right? This is symbolic. But if you feel led to pray for someone, just go and pray for them. Ask them first, okay? Probably more importantly, if you want prayer and you know someone in this church prays, go to them and ask them to pray for you, okay? If you're, that'll do, I think. But I love this. It's the same God, right? The same God we read about in the Bible is the same God today, and He can do the same things, okay? That's all I want to say. So I think this is what I want to do. Let's stand and worship first and get this song in our spirit. Just listen to the words, sing it through. And then me and Dawn and Mel will stand at the front. And if you want to come forward for prayer, you do that.